Can everybody see me? Not that it's important to see me. If I stand out here. Is that all right? This morning is a different morning for many reasons, I guess. But for one, about once a year, we share with you where we see God leading us, where we've been. And I've said, in different circles, I think this year is going to be extremely pivotal for us. There's some things that God is creating out in front of us. There are some things that God is moving us toward. It's not a 12-step program to a successful church. It's not a program at all. It's more so where Scripture drives us and where God, by His Spirit, is interpreting things for us. Obviously, it's a personal journey for me as well. And so when I share these things with you, it is quite personal for me. And I hope it's quite personal, quite frankly, for you as well. When we came, not that it's about us, obviously, but when we came 6 years ago, there are certain things that God had convinced me of in my spirit. Certain things that I recognized. God gave me some insight, I think some discernment, and I thought that was great. Unfortunately, he pointed out some of the ugliness that even I saw out in the world, in the church. I saw it deep inside of me. And so when I speak of those things, it's had a very refining effect on me, and continues to do so. I hope that makes sense. But this morning, we're going to, actually, Jerry and Lance and I are going to give a picture of what we established 6 years ago, where that has led us, and where we believe it is taking us in the future. And I hope you see the continuity. Actually, the amazing way that God creates and refines and then reveals things as He's asking us to engage with Him on this mission that He's on, that He's always been on, to reconcile the world to Himself. And so, I don't know, who's first? Okay, Jerry. We established at ACC a purpose. And I know if you're involved in business or organizations, everyone has a purpose statement. Everyone puts it on logos and puts it in things. And those all are good things. We put it in our bulletin. And so we established a purpose that basically said that by the power of the Holy Spirit that work in us, we are going to endeavor or journey or however you want to look at it in making disciples everywhere, locally, regionally, globally. That would be our intent. And at that time, we were a lot smaller than what we are now. And so, not to say, hey, you know, what a group of leaders. No. We were diligently seeking God and asking His heart for us. And we believe that because Jesus said that you will be my disciples and you will make disciples, and there will be an extent to that, Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the utter ends of the world, not because of who we are, but because of who He is and because that's His mission, we desire to pursue that. And so we put that as our purpose. And then we went through and we said, now we're going to give the non-negotiables, the things we're going to die on the hill. Because you know what? We could say we're going to do all these things and say we are going to do it by making everyone wear orange and brown and chant Cleveland Browns cheers, right? We could do it a number of ways, but we felt for us here that scripturally these are the things that we are going to hold fast to. And so as Jerry and Lance come, Jerry, why don't you come on up? What are we using? This one. That is the framework from which we started 6 years ago on this journey. So, Jerry, why don't you... I'm sorry, that was me.
I'm glad you brought the podium up here, because I am one of them people that usually cannot walk and chew gum at the same time. So I can't hold the mic and my Bible and my notes and speak. Something would have to give. Can y'all hear me good? The five values that Pastor is referring to was established several years ago. Looking forward from that time, I just made a few notes. Today, we see more people, number of people interested in mentoring in some fashion. We hear it. My neighbor, I'm doing this with my neighbor. Some people have, even in this congregation, I'm talking about in this congregation.
We want to hear you. You have to keep it right there.
Do I have to eat it?
You may have to eat it.
Okay. But in this congregation, we're even seeing people using tools like one-to-one discipling, book, helping people more and more than before. We're seeing an increased frequency in the pursuit of the unbeliever. And I say that as opposed to saying, well, we asked them to come to church. I told them that the pastor needs to see them. We're seeing now individuals interested in this congregation, interested in actually pursuing what God would have them do with someone. We're seeing an increased increase in prayers. Prayers for them to be saved, as opposed to prayers for somebody to go and talk to them. We're seeing an increase in prayers of, Lord, help me be the light for them. Put me in a spot where I might witness, minister to them. That is the heart of discipling. Discipling people, or being a disciple, is not simply, I'm a believer in Christ. That's the beginning. To disciple someone means that you become a disciple yourself and then be interested in passing that on. So the first of our values, if you can look on the back of your bulletin, you'll see them. It says, making disciples who make disciples. And Matthew 28, actually 19, is the key verse there. You can read that. But I want to encourage you, because we're seeing a growth here. So many times growth is calculated or sometimes calculated in numbers of people who are coming to my church. That's not the growth we want to see. We want to see maturity in the body of Christ, able to go out and do these things. And we're seeing it. So I commend you, I thank you, and I'm glad I'm a part of you. That's the first of the five values.
And I just want to make a brief comment about the next three. Pursuit of the Spirit-filled life for every believer, Scripture as an instrument of transformation, and lifestyle worship. These values we've discovered are difficult to actually measure. You can't quantify them. You can, but then it becomes a very rigid, maybe lifeless program. And that has not been our intent. What our intent has been is to see, as Jerry was just saying, a maturity and a depth occur over a span of time that is only really measurable and seen through relationships. And so as I was considering these, I was thinking about some of those official relationships that we've had, at least in the time since I've been here, the last 6 or 7 years. Wednesday night prayer meetings, having an opportunity to be able to say, what is God saying to you in His Word? How is God speaking to you? And how is that impacting your life? How is Scripture being transformational in your life? Maybe it's been in Sunday school class where we've had opportunity to be able to share how these truths impact our lives and the stories of how God is at work in our lives. Maybe it's been in open groups or in fellowship Sundays immediately after this, like today. Again, it's more than just about the food. Even though the food is fantastic, it's more about interacting with one another, those relationships, those depths of relationships. Maybe it's been in the men's and women's groups to be able to hear how God is at work in your life, that His grace on display. Maybe in your own heart, or how you see Him impacting the lives of those in your circle of accountability. Several other types of official meetings that we have here at the church. But I was also thinking about those other times. Those times when it's not official. When we get together as friends and our kids play together. Or we get together for a bonfire. Or maybe it's just over coffee or breakfast or some meal, and where there's interaction and there's not that pressure of, well, now I have to have my church face on. No, we get to see, and it's been very encouraging as we've gotten to know you over these last 6 years to see that God is very active in your lives. And it's a part of, worship is not an event, right? It's not from 10 to 11:30 on Sunday mornings. We want to encourage one another to have a lifestyle of worship. It's been in hospital visits. It's been as we've raked leaves and cleaned gutters together. It's been as we've prayed together and worshiped together. The variety of ways that the Lord has knit our hearts together here so that we've been able to see in each other the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that pursuit that's going on in our lives. That we've been able to see and hear how Scripture is transforming us. And how that those songs that we sing, that they radiate throughout the week, through our lives as we touch other people. We are always worshiping. It's just a matter of who and what. And so my prayer is that we would continue to give glory to God in the good and in the bad, and that His activity will be more aware of His presence as we continue to dive deeper into Scripture, as we continue to pursue that Spirit-filled, deeper life, having the Holy Spirit empower us for our daily walk. I am encouraged of what has happened here. And as a details kind of guy, I like to count. I like to measure. I like to be able to quantify. And when we can't, it's hard to do that with these particular values. So someone says, how are we doing? That only comes through time of relationships. And so, and that's been the heart of what we've been trying to give space for the Holy Spirit to do. These last 6 years.
The final fifth value you'll see there says unity of relationships is foundational for any action. We stand together, we grow. Divided, we fall. In every elder meeting, we are unified. Totally. I want you to understand that. No matter who the elder is, who's there, and that is not to say we always agree, because we do not. And we do not take a vote, the majority wins. We don't do that. Because the majority in our meetings is the Lord. So when we end our meetings, we get unified. The decisions that are made are based on the Word of God that keeps us unified. In this congregation, we are all different. Everyone has their own thought, their own idea, their own ideal. But we are unified. And looking forward from several years ago, we are more unified today than before. Much. It doesn't take a genius to see that every morning worship time when it comes to fellowship, and they have to turn the lights on to shut us up. Okay, we are unified. That doesn't mean we agree. It means that we have a central, foundational unification. And that's in Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, and we desire to continue to come together and fellowship. That's unity. I just want to touch a little bit on going forward from now. These five values, like Lance said, it's not easy to say, well, show me where that has been. But if you look back a few years forward, it's as clear as a bell. And again, I thank God for you. I want to read final scripture about unity. And you'll find it in Ephesians chapter 4. And this is the scripture that was chosen for that value. It is Ephesians 4, but I can't find it. Right, there it is. Ephesians 4, verse 1, it says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope when you are called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So be encouraged. And again, I thank you for letting me be a part of you.
I wasn't going to share this, and maybe I've shared it in different places, but when I was convinced of some things, and obviously it goes, obviously God's Spirit working in me goes deep, and my flesh dies kicking and screaming. I know nobody else has any issue like that, but I do. There were certain things that when we came here, and I talked with the leaders that were here, and I said, I think there's something that is missing that I would love to explore and journey with you. And it has to do with how we measure things, what we see as success, where our focus is, where our priorities should be, what our foundational values are. And we walked through these things. We walked through these values, and we all agreed, and we were unified in that and said, yes, whatever comes, we're going to stick to these values and the purpose. And then I went back to the Lord, and I said, I sort of like counting numbers. I sort of like the measurables that we're used to. You know, I mean, many people and good finances and happy people and all these things. And I said, Jesus, if you're asking to base a church body on these things, how are we going to measure these things? How do we know that we're on the path? You know, Jesus, I believe these things. You've convinced me, convicted me. You've revealed truth to me. But I'm having an issue here of how are we going to know we're in the center of the will. How are we going to know this is right? When many places are saying, no, make sure that you keep the lights on, you got to pay the staff, and you need to pay the staff, you got to have more people. God, help me in this, because that's my life. That's been my life. And I felt him say to me and impress upon me, I will give you testimony. I will give you people that you won't have to search, and they will bring you testimony. This is no joke. The next Sunday, there was a couple that came. And I think I got to speak to them briefly when they came in. They said they were on vacation, and you know they saw the sign. I think they were familiar with the CNMA. And so they decided to stay. Now, this is the week after. And so, you know, I saw them, I talked to them just briefly. Then I didn't see them, and they left. And 2 days later, I got an email. And it was from this couple. This couple was a he was a pastor and wife from, I think, Bryan, Ohio. And they said in the letter, they said, I'm a pastor, and if something like this happened to me, I would want someone to tell me about it. And he said, I have never experienced in a formal church the unconditional love and acceptance and the grace that was shown upon us by your people. Not by me, by your people. He said, I tell you, it was as authentic, it wasn't forced, there was no program involved where we were received and, you know, given the directions to the restroom and everything else that we needed. It was generally accepted unconditional love. And from there, I'm telling you, the testimonies have been. It's not anything to do with anything else but God's goodness and your obedience. To have God refine you to be more in his image. Because when we talk about transformation, that's God's desire. As he would transform us into the likeness of his son. That would we respond like his son does. That we would show unconditional love like his son does. That we would accept all people, regardless of socioeconomic anything. That we would accept people, that they would know the heart and the love that Christ has for them. That was something that I will always cherish, is that interaction that I had with Jesus, where he spoke to me that, and that happened. Although it doesn't stop. Now, these things that we talk about have a natural progression. I mean, if God's desire is that he would reconcile the world to himself, and there's no, you've heard all these things, there's no plan B. His desire is that through the church, his manifold wisdom would be made known. It's the church. Like it or not, it's the church. And so what God is doing in the midst is just following his plan. Whether it's here or wherever, the church is making this message of reconciliation known as his ambassadors, as his representatives, as if he's making a plea to the world, be reconciled to God. This is his desire. And any church that is basing their existence on anything else is outside of the scripture, I believe. That is what we are here to do. We are not here for ourselves, although God is amazing. He loves us. He wants to reveal truth to us. He wants us to worship him. Because where his praises are, that's where he is. Right? He desires that. He desires for us to grow in intimacy with him. It is about us, but yet it is not about us. We've been given this message of reconciliation. And so any church that doesn't found itself on that, I have, in my spirit, have to question. And so we will be here, not for ourselves, but for the world around us. The city of Fort Wayne is our responsibility. We can't get around it. It is our responsibility. We are to pursue opportunities to make this message known. And so when we talk about local, regional, global, we mean it. We mean it. And you know, when John's in Gabon, we're there. That's not John's ministry in Gabon. We are there. Now that Phil and Kim are with us, they're in Kenya. Man, we're there. We want to be a part of anybody who is doing the same thing that we are doing. And we will support that. And we will be a part of that. But that does not come at the expense of my responsibility for my neighbors, for your responsibility for your neighbors, for your responsibility and my responsibility collectively for the city of Fort Wayne. And so wherever this is happening, your leaders have determined this is where we're going to be. Haven, Inner city, that's our responsibility. Ike in that church is leading, yes, and we will support and encourage and submit to him because that's our responsibility. Solomon planting international churches, that's our responsibility because Fort Wayne has immigrants and refugees and all kinds of nationalities are represented. That's our responsibility. That is our circle of influence. And so as we are transformed into the likeness of Jesus, we aren't only transformed into his likeness, but he loves to share his heart. He loves to share his desire, his mission with us. And so as we get transformed, guess what? That has, be careful with this, the transformation has results or fruit or activity because God's Spirit is involved. And so coming, I believe, not because of who we are, not because we have merited something, but I believe God is wanting to explode his Spirit in the city of Fort Wayne. I understand that you don't have, I would say you don't have the privilege of having some of the connectivities that I have, the connections, but I will share with you that things are stirring and happening. And people all over this nation are seeing it and wanting to be a part of it. That's no joke. I've had people from New York, from the South, say, what's going on in Fort Wayne? And so we want to be a part of that. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that? To see God's Spirit moving. I said this last week. You know what? I'm tired of only pointing to India as examples for the moving of God's Spirit. I want to hear. I don't want to be satisfied by looking across the ocean and saying, man, isn't that wonderful what God's doing in India? It is amazing. It is wonderful. It is wonderful what's happening in Ethiopia. I want it here. I believe God wants it here, more importantly. And so I think sometimes we thought it was a little crazy, but a couple years ago we said, if this is the nature of the church, if this is God's plan and desire, and we're the instrumentality of that, what could happen in 3 to 5 years? What could happen in 3 to 5 years? I believe, and I believe strongly, that as we live out what it means to be a Jesus follower, which we, you know, those qualities, don't want to get confused, those values we set were values for ACC. And you hear us sometimes talk about qualitative values. How can we measure these things? Intimacy with God. If your people are practicing their priesthood, their grace testimony, that I be able to tell someone and explain to someone how God has confronted me with this grace that I don't understand. And be able to communicate that with people that I have influence with. Spiritual giftings being manifested not only here, but where you have your life. You don't take your gift off when you walk in the building. The Spirit, the fruit that comes from the Spirit living his life through you, how you respond to people, how that love is the first thing that is evident. I tell you, that's one of the first things people see when they come here. Praise God. But what does that look like when we're intentional outside of this building? The fruit of the Spirit. And then generosity. Man, if being generous could be the marking of this place, what an amazing testimony that would be to our community. Those are qualitative things that are seen. And then finally, the sixth one is taking responsibility for your area of influence. You are in a place for a reason. You live in your house for a reason. You are surrounded by the neighbors you have for a reason. I believe we're going to be intentional now. I need to be intentional. that we would take responsibility for the places around us, that this essence of Christ, that he's creating in us, this new creation he's created and continues to refine more in his likeness, would be intentionally placed in a neighborhood, in a business. Man, that's a genius of God, you think? That is not man. That is God's genius. And that's what we've been called to do. If that happens, we looked at that 3 to 5 years. Man, what if some of the unreached places in Fort Wayne, yes, there are places that do not have much of an expression of Jesus in them. What if some of these places, we started gathering these Jesus people that are emulate, what's the word? Whatever it is. A big word would have been really good at that point. But people just living out the essence of Christ, gathering. I think Jesus is attractive. I think that what he has done in us is attractive to people that have no hope. Right now, they're without God and without hope. What if we had places? Places where people knew they could gather. And so we said, what if ACC could be a place where we would plant these disciples? Now, that word is scary to some. Planting? Well, I don't know. Do you even have 100 people come on a Sunday morning? Planting is God's desire. And I'm not saying buying a building and seeing how many people we can fill that building and promote and do all the things that is required, seemingly, in our culture. I'm saying having planted Jesus followers in places. Now, maybe some of them will have a building. I think the majority of them will be in their homes, will be in places where there's a place to go. And you know what? If this happens, I believe people are going to come to Christ. I believe we're going to see salvations. I believe that God's going to start drawing people. And you know what? If we don't get any bigger here, if that's God's desire, okay. I do know his desire is to be lateral, decentralized, that our lives would be lived out in the fabric of communities, of businesses, of schools. So, if that is the case, we said, what do we need to do? If we're going to be a sending agent, yet continue in that place of unity and that place of edifying one another and coming together, what would it look like? What would we need to do? So I'm going to share with you just a few things that you probably already see. First thing, we need to train leaders. We need to train leaders. That means that in Ephesians 4, Jesus gave a gift of leadership to his body to equip her, that she would grow in maturity, she'd grow in unity, that she would not be tossed back and forth by the waves of change and circumstance, but there would be a foundational maturity that this body possesses. Guess what the instrument of equipping is? Leadership. And so if we're not training leaders, take responsibility spiritually, and I'm not talking formally, well, you're formally given this position, so now you can start leading. No. God gives this gift of leadership. Title, untitled, it doesn't matter. He gives it to the church. There is spiritual authority. Absolutely. But God gives this gift in order that the body would be equipped. So we need to start equipping leaders. And so we've started to do that. And we will continue to do that. We will come to an understanding, and we have, I believe. I believe those qualitative values, and I think we believe those qualitative values. What do you need a definition of a disciple that's outside of those realms? Is it all inclusive? No. But if you're practicing your priesthood, if you're developing intimacy with Jesus, if you are sharing this grace testimony that has impacted and transformed your life, if you're edifying the body and neighborhoods with your spiritual gifting, whatever that is, hope or encouragement, faith, giving, helps, teaching, whatever the spiritual gift you've been given, if that's being seen in your community, if you are responding out of a fruit of a spirit, that will be unlike the world's. If you are practicing generosity and the stewardship of life, giving your time, energy, money, whatever it is that God's given you, and then you're taking responsibility and being intentional and living a life out as a Jesus follower, making disciples, do we need another definition? That is a disciple of Jesus. We need to be making disciples that are following those guidelines that we find in Scripture. And we will continue to do that. And there are things that we're going to institute that we're going to help us in making more disciples. By the way, that's God's intent. For anybody that comes to Him, His intent that you would grow in maturity as a disciple of His. So these really are not like, well, we're going to choose to do this. No, this is the expectation. We're going to help develop and plan to engage people in the mission. The mission is definitely local. It's definitely within your family first. It's definitely local. It's definitely regional and national and global. But we need to be engaged in God's mission to reconcile the world to Himself. He doesn't need us. We need to be engaged in that. That we would grow even closer to Him and His heart for the world. And so wherever that is, you know what? I'm sorry I keep picking on John. Which I really like picking on John when he's not here. It's such a sense of freedom. But John said, hey, I feel God's wanting me to engage in this. Praise God. What do you need? What do you need? We will come alongside. What do you need? And so we are very intentional. And missions is not just getting on a plane and going somewhere. Engaging in the mission is just as much, you are just as much a missionary as Marshall, as Richard, as Ed, as any of those guys, I'm sorry, and their wives, Andrea. You are just as much a missionary in that term as they are. We got to stop looking at these things. Oh, forget it. We'll continue. This one, I still may be crazy. Let me back up and just give you a little understanding of what we did. And we do practice a certain kind of leadership structure here that's different. And there's more to that to come, I think. But what we did is we said, okay, we don't need to be determining God's heart and plan for this, where we're going 6 years ago. We need to pursue Jesus. And so two or three, we came together and we said, and we had some help, we had somebody facilitate us. We said, what does Jesus want? What does He want? I'm not going to determine that. We collectively need to pursue that. So we went back. We went to our times of prayer. And we came back, and Jesus said something to me that I had to wrestle with. Because this idea of planting Jesus followers has always been on my heart. Once again, it's not planting buildings and churches. It's just making God evident in the fabric of life. But it was always been on my heart. And then Jesus, I believe, spoke directly to me and said, and I want one of those church plants to be one of a millennial generation. And I said, God, let me remind you that we don't have very many of those here. And so, as per my norm, I usually do make a fool out of myself quite regularly, but not intentionally. And I was determined I may not intentionally make a fool out of myself with this. So we all came together, and everybody had their the things that God spoke to them. It was beautiful. It was spoken out of everybody's function, usually. You know, everybody, how God's bent them. But everybody came together and had these things, and I just kept my mouth shut on this one. I had some other things that were more feasible, so I said those. And so at the end, when I couldn't stand it any longer and God was beating the tar out of me spiritually, I said, guys, I think we're supposed to do something with the millennial generation. I don't know if you guys remember. It was sort of quiet. No one really said anything. So we closed in prayer and then went on. So I was like, all right, that's fine. God, I said what you asked me to say. I believe that's happening. I believe that's going to happen. I believe that we will be like a spiritual parent to something that God wants to birth in a generation that is not ours. Well, I mean, not mine at least. I think God's going to do something that's going to amaze the world, but amaze us at just so how generous he is. I mean, the principle that Gideon experienced. Hey, Gideon, you have too many people. Get rid of some of them. That kind of mentality is not normative in our culture. We do look for the effective, the exceptional, the numbers. We look at those things. And so I don't know if I'm confusing the matter more. I don't know if maybe this needs more explanation. I'm sure it does. And you know what? I am so glad you're my family. I'm not a paid professional that stands up here. We're family. If we have these things, guess what? God's going to empower you. It's not about me doing this. It's about you. God is empowering you by his Spirit. You are chosen. You have been equipped. You have been empowered. You have relationship. You have effect. You have circles of accountability. Collectively, we become a body. We are a body. So it's both and. This thing is both us individually and us collectively. And so I guess I'm asking you, like I asked when we came over here, I asked the guys and gals there, I said, I don't know a lot of this, but won't it be cool to journey this with God's Spirit, to explore the desires of his heart, to figure out what's on his mind and his heart that he wants to reveal to us? And in turn, man, could we see something amazing that would draw us even closer in rhythms with his Spirit? I look at each one of you. He's gifted you powerfully. He's given you personality. He's given you some of those things that are just hardwired. He's given you spiritual gifts. If you've called on his name as Savior, he's given you things that are supernatural in its effect. He's given you functions and how your role is within this body and outside of this body. He's given you places of effect. 1 Corinthians 12. He's given you places where he sets you to be effective. And has nothing to do with the title. Has nothing to do with what we would deem as necessary. Are you a follower of Jesus? Then you're in. Quite as simple as that. And so we are going to explore this together. And you know what? What if it doesn't look like anything we think it might look like? That's okay. That's his anyway. But we are sure that what we've established here as guidelines, principles, foundation is right. And we'll just allow God to take care of the results. Amen? All right. Let me pray. Father, when you invite us into things, I think, at least with me, I begin to do a exploration of what's in the warehouse. Oh, I can't do that. Nope, that doesn't seem right. But God, I pray that we would have a heart of willingness that says, I don't know what it is, what you're asking of us right now. It's not really clear. But man, I'm willing. God, will you journey with us? God, that's your heart. I don't know why I even asked it. You've said that this is what you want to do. How you love to take things that may not look to be effective and just blow the world apart with it. Those 12 that went out, actually more than that, thinking of those that you accumulated, 120 that was sitting in that room where you told them to wait. God, what? We're here because you use those people to expand a kingdom and made us a part of that. Thank you for engaging us. Thank you for loving us that way. So God, whatever this means, all we know is you are sovereign, you are good, and you are taking care of the results. I just pray that we would be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen.